Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer.
Welcome to Mad Money.
Welcome to Cramerica.
I'd be able to make friends. Just try and make some money. My job is not just to entertain you, but to educate and teach you, so call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. How do you spot a bottom? I mean, what makes it happen? When can you be sure that you have a real bottom in hand? Oh, that's the question everyone's pondering right now, right? And you've come to the correct place for the answer. I've been spelunking for bottoms for 40 years. And while I haven't always been right, I've caught enough of them to develop a checklist of what needs to occur before we get an investable bottom. Notice I didn't say tradable. Like what happened today, where the averages bounced for most of the session, and you can scalp a couple of points if you're nimble. Before things rolled over in late afternoon, Dow ultimately losing 171 points, S&P declining 0.1%, NASDAQ dipping 0.13%. That gapped a bunch of people. No, I'm talking about the kind of big long-term bottom that you eventually look back on as a magnificent buying opportunity. How do you know if you have one of those on your hands? Well, you need a checklist. So let me give you the checklist to catch an investable bottom like we had a couple of years back and many times since 1979 when I started buying stocks. First, before the market can bottom, we need to see a level of negativity that makes you sick to your stomach. In the great bottom of 2020, when we were still reeling from the arrival of the pandemic, we had people coming on our air and talking about the wrath of Khan and the angel of portfolio death. All right, maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but not that much. The chatter was so pessimistic from so many rich money managers that it did feel almost apocalyptic. This time around, we don't have that level of negativity yet. Something we may not see again in my lifetime, because we did have 15% unemployment courtesy of the COVID lockdown. But that said, we do have some stocks that represent the give-up aspect of negativity. We've seen lots of money managers coming on air expressing optimism, though, only to get clobbered, of course, by the Fed's surprisingly bearish minutes yesterday. Unfortunately, we still don't have the kind of noxious, nauseous chatter that creates a terrific sentiment bottom. There's too much confidence, too much optimism, too many people trying to buy things. Second, bottoms happen when the market gets oversold, extremely oversold. We aren't there yet. In fact, based on the S&P oscillator that I often reference, we're still overbought. We're at almost plus three because there's been so much buying in the big non-techs and non-healthcares with real earnings. Remember, 2022 is the year where you have to own profitable companies with straightforward businesses. Even though they dipped a bit today, those groups remain overbought, not oversold. Only tech has been truly beaten down, although healthcare, with declines like the 88 points in one session for institutional favorite Humana, can get something oversold real fast. But no, we're not oversold. Get that. Third bottom checklist, have the analysts thrown in the towel? So far, not really. Sure, Adobe and Salesforce both caught downgrades, but no one followed up. Matter of fact, there was a nice push today for Salesforce. All we've had really is price target cuts that merely keep pace with the declines in stocks. You have to see more despair from the analysts before we get a truly sustainable bottom. We aren't there yet. They're still trying to play catch-up with the sell-off. Fourth, Are the big gunners of the day, the ones buying the formerly turbocharged momentum stocks, getting clobbered? The number one momentum player in this market is Cathie Wood. The portfolio manager behind ARK Invest and her flagship ARK Innovation Fund is one of the ugliest performers of the era. Wood was the best stock picker of 2020, but it's not 2020 anymore. While she's sticking by her picks, momentum players never want to admit that they're wrong. Her portfolio is as toxic as I've ever seen. But as long as money managers like Cathie Wood refuse to throw in the towel, that means we're probably not yet nearing a bottom. Now, the moment, of course, of Wood saying something like, whoops, I blew it, I'm selling, is when you know we have the ingredients for bottom. But that won't happen. She'll never do that. More likely, her investors will capitulate before she does. And some of the greatest momentum guys just got boosted tonight when GameStop adopted my plan to go all NFT crypto. I mean, I can't believe they just went in crypto. Everyone laughed at me when I said they should go crypto. Now they go crypto. The stock's up 30 bucks. Hope spring and eternal there. So, yeah, let's give that one a check. Okay. Fifth, you got to ask yourself, is the proximate cause of the decline something that poses systemic risk to the economy? And that could be worth a very big decline. Or is it merely a garden variety downturn? I don't think there's any systemic risk here, but there is some real flashpoint. Remember, you want to see lots of money managers freaking out about how it's the end of the world. Their panic creates the bottom. And right now we're hearing all kinds of fire and brimstone denunciations about how the Fed is behind the curve, and we're about to experience hyperinflation. Now, if these hedge fund guys were right, then that would be systemic risk, and the Fed would have to go nuclear on the economy to stop it. I think they're wrong, though. We have inflation. It's not great. But if we let things play out, it will eventually subside, and the Fed won't need to hit us with a series of lockstep rate hikes. Believe me, if the inflation issues were right, the 10-year Treasury wouldn't be yielding a measly 1.7, and the 20-year wouldn't be at around 2 and change. Those are historically low rates, people. So do the events that trigger selling pose it? Well, we don't have to worry about that one, so let's give that a check mark. So we've got 2 out of 5. Not great. Six item on the checklist. Okay, now let's go over this, because now we're getting interesting. Have the IPOs stopped coming? Markets that are going down need a chance to catch their breath. But that can't happen as long as investment bankers keep flooding us with new supply by pumping out bills, by pumping out garbage IPOs and SPACs. Now it looks like for a moment the window actually might be closing. Last night, Authentic Brands, a grab bag of ancillary brands run by very smart people, pulled its offering. This is one of the greatest signs of a bottom you can find, a smart management team that knows it won't get a really good price. So why not just wait? We need to see many more deals getting pulled. I'm going to put that one as kind of like, you know, I don't know what that means, but it means not yes, not no. Seventh, can good earnings come and save us? We had three companies that reported today, Conagra, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Constellation Brands. Of course, they're all on our show tonight, but it didn't move the needle. We won't know how businesses are really doing until earnings season truly kicks in at the end of next week. So that one we're calling a question mark. We got a lot of stuff here that does not equal checks, okay? Eighth, have stocks come down enough from their highs that it makes sense for a new wave of money to come in from the sidelines? I think the answer to this one is no. Because while the Nasdaq's well off its highs, down 8% at the low yesterday, the Dow's barely down at all. You need all the major averages to be hurting before you get an investable bottom. Nine, is there anything that could possibly fix the proximate cause of the decline? This time it's clear. The cause is the Fed declaring war on inflation. If we start to get some softer inflation numbers since the Omicron strain has run its course and more people come back to work, that could certainly help. We're not there yet. The good news is that at this point, Omicron should peak, I think, by the end of the month. Once that happens, you need to get more positive because that's going to help the fight against inflation. We delve into that later in the show. So here, let's give that a question mark. All right. Then finally, forget the Fed for a moment. Is the rest of the government a hindrance or a help? For better or worse, the government seems paralyzed. I say there are more worse things than gridlock. So that one I'm going to say is fine. All right. So when you add up all these, I think we could soon get maybe we get some more short term trades like we had today. But there's just not enough check marks at all for me to feel like that this was anything serious today. Too few checks. That doesn't mean you can't pick selectively in stocks on the way down. We're going to start doing that for the Charitable Trust. If we see any buys, we haven't yet. It's too early to be aggressive. The bottom line, based on my checklist, it's just too soon to talk about what's worth buying into weakness. I think we need to experience more pain before we get the big bottom that we're all waiting for. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe.
Booyah, Jim. I love your show, man.
Thank you, Joe. Booyah right back at you. What's up?
So my question is about Shopify. I know it looks like it has been pelotonic for the last few weeks. Its PE is really low. And looking at how they're handling their customers, it has a story which is good. but all the technicals are showing sell, 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 sell. I wanted to see your take on Shopify.
Okay, well, you know, Shopify is one of those companies that has 185 PE. All right. Now, when the Fed starts raising rates, what I said was you have to buy companies that are making a lot of money and are doing it by making things. So that's a switch. So suddenly you have a stock like Shopify, which is a very, very good company, but it's not what's right now. So you have to wait till that comes down. You can say, well, wait a second, it's down from 1,700 to 1,100, but it doesn't really have a bottom feel yet to me because it doesn't fit my playbook of what's expensive and what's not. Let's go to Craig in Pennsylvania, please. Craig.
Hey, how's it going today, Jimmy? Chill?
That's good, man. What's going on with you?
Oh, everything is great. Everything is lovely.
Fantastic.
I just had a question about Crocs. I know recently they made an acquisition in the Hey Dude.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it went down on the news. Now, I mean, the shoe, from what I know, is a really good, popular shoe and is very comfortable. And I know they report earnings next month, around the end of next month. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what are like the your short-term, mid-term, probably long-term views on the stock.
Well, there's a problem. There's a lot of new shoe companies. Like someone recommended, you know, I saw Allbirds got a buy recommendation today. You know what? There's a plethora of shoe companies right now, and that's what I think is hurting them. And people feel they paid too much for that acquisition. We're going to have to wait to see that quarter because people felt that they needed growth, and that's why they paid so much. So we have to keep watching that one, Greg. It's too early to give you the high sign. How about Hannah in New York? Hannah.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I love your show, first of all.
Thank you.
So informative. And I want to thank you for all the hard work that you do. Yesterday, you suggested four tech stocks to purchase since they've gone down a lot, one of them being Salesforce. Now, Salesforce, along with the stocks I'm calling about, were both downgraded by UBS on Wednesday. What do you think about adding Adobe to your list?
Well, to which one? I'm sorry, which stock?
Adobe?
Okay, look, Adobe did not have a great quarter. It did not have a bad quarter. The stock is down a great deal. I believe that it's right to buy. You buy some here and buy some lower. And that's because it's a $500 stock, not a $50 stock. You have to divide by 10. That was my old rule of thumb. But Adobe is being overly punished here. Down from 700 to 500, I would start buying a little. I know we're all waiting for a bottom. Unfortunately, we don't have enough checks yet. Now, look, I might miss the bottom, but these are the ones that I like to look for, and we just don't have them. How about we get 7 checks or maybe 8 checks, but not this few checks? May have money tonight. Constellation Brands announced a new deal with Coca-Cola to add an alcoholic twist to Fresca. I'm learning more about the quarter and the deal with the company top brass. Then Bed Bath & Beyond missed analyst expectations in the fiscal third quarter, but the stock went above and beyond today. I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's finished. And ConAgra is seeing strong demand in the frozen aisles. So should investors expect the company to bring the heat going into 2022? I've got the exclusive. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com. Or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
This morning, we got a truly terrific quarter from Constellation Brands, STZ, the wine, liquor, and beer company best known for Corona, Modelo, Pacifico. Against a tough backdrop, they delivered a modest revenue beat and a 35-cent earnings beat off a $2.77 basis. On top of that, management raised their full-year forecast. Initially, Constellation stock jumped to an all-time high, but then it rolled over as all of the tangible stocks that have been winning in recent months got hit with a wave of profit-taking, and a lot of that money flowed back to the NASDAQ. Personally, I think it's a buying opportunity, but don't take it from me. Let's check in with Bill Newlands, the president and CEO of Constellation Brands, to get a better read on the quarter and where his company's headed. Mr. Newlands, welcome back to Mad Money.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
Bill, I think you're in an enviable situation. Had you had more glass, had you had more workers, you would have done even better for Modelo, Especial up 13%, and Corona Extra up 11%. Is it really just the case that you just can't make enough beer?
Well, we finally gotten ourselves into a good spot, and we're getting our inventory back into position. But I think it really shows the strength of our brands. As you point out, Modelo just is a continuing freight train, and that's phenomenal. And it was extremely exciting to see the strength of Corona Extra. You know, it's one of the most beloved brands. And when you're up 11% in a quarter, it shows the real strength. And I think as people in a COVID environment go to brands that they trust, Corona Extra has been a real winner in that.
Speaking of brands they trust, the younger people in my cohort, not me because I remember from a different year, all drink Fresca. And when people heard about your tie-up with Coca-Cola, people didn't think, this is going to be another hard seltzer. This is something new and different. Talk about it.
It is. As you know, Fresca is one of the real growth brands for Coca-Cola. And interestingly enough, over 50% of Fresca consumers already mix it with alcohol beverage. So in a growing sector, ready to drinks, we thought for Fresca mixed is an outstanding opportunity for us, both for Coca-Cola and for us. And we're really excited about it. It's very much on trend of convenience, flavor, as well as locale. And we're very excited about it. We think it's going to be a great opportunity.
How will that work? Will it be you and Coke joint advertising, or are you taking the lead in this?
We're taking the lead. We're going to buy the concentrate from them, and then we will make the product, market, and sell it primarily through our beer distribution network, although in some states it will go through wine and spirits as well.
I got a feeling that's going to be just a huge hit. Now, you're spending, what, between $5 and $5.5 billion CapEx. Most of the companies in your industry don't even have any CapEx to spend on because there's nothing. All they're trying to do is cut back. Where is that going to be used? Will it be to get brown glass when we're about for Pacifico? Will it be just to have more glass for maybe one day Victoria coming to New York in a big way? Because you know I think that's going to be huge.
It does a number of things for us. First of all, it allows us to optimize our Nava and our Obregon facilities. We're also going to build out in the state of Veracruz. That's been a very important next step for us because of our strong demand. We see in the short, medium term, 7 to 9%.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And growth annually in our beer business. And it's important that we invest against it. So we're very bullish on the long-term prospects for beer. And this capital investment is really an investment behind it. As you know, we are a very strong cash generator, and it allows us to not only return money to shareholders, but also invest behind the growth of our business.
All right, so Bill, you and I both know there's a tequila shortage in this country. It's remarkable. Casa Noble is one of my absolute favorite brands. It sells incredibly well. But I just don't think that, because you have so many great brands, I think it's probably hard to choose which one to put money behind. Any chance of going behind tequila in a big way?
We've extended ourselves in tequila recently. You may have seen that we repackaged Casa Noble into what I think is a really dynamite new look package. And we think that's going to be very helpful for that brand. We also have introduced Mi Campo, which is a slightly lower priced tequila, but still in the premium space. So we're very bullish on tequila, and we plan to be a player in it.
All right. Now, Canopy growth obviously has plummeted. All the stocks have, so I'm not going to select Canopy. But is there some catalyst that could happen in the near term? Because, you know, this is a generational opportunity for cannabis versus, say, I'm reading the Sackler book right now about opiates. And I just say, oh, my, if only this country had embraced cannabis, hundreds of thousands of people could be living. At the same time, recreationally, it's a safer thing than what we do to ourselves. So where are we in terms of a catalyst?
I think the catalyst is likely to be legalization on a federal level. And Canopy is still well positioned to take advantage of that. You might have seen recently they have an agreement with WANA, which is one of the strongest gummy producers, both in Canada and the United States, when there is that triggering event to bring that under the Canopy fold. We still, as we've talked before, we still believe this is going to be a $100 billion business, which, considering it's bigger than the spirit business, will be an important category in CPG going forward. And for therefore, we still believe this is an important area where we need to be invested.
One last thing. I get the Mexican Daily newspaper, comes at the headlines coming around 7 o'clock every night. Last night was particularly bad when it came to Omicron. They're talking about real crisis in many states. How are your people handling it down there?
I think our team has done an outstanding job of being as far ahead as we can possibly be. As you know, we hired a chief medical officer, Dr. Tim Malins, and he has been a terrific guide for us. And he and our Mexican operations group has gotten 99% of our operational population doubly vaccinated.
Wow.
So we're doing everything we can to keep our people safe, which in turn will allow us to service the great needs of our customers who are enjoying our beers.
Excellent. Now, I want people to know there were four different brokerage firms that boosted numbers going into the quarter, which is probably why it had such a flat reaction, so to speak. It certainly wasn't the numbers. They were spectacular. Bill Newlands, President and CEO of Constellation Brands, STC. Always great to see you, sir.
Thank you. Good to see you, Jim.
Remember, when a stock goes down, you have to ask where it came from, not just where it's going to. In this particular case, take a look where this thing came from. And now you know why it went down. They have money's back in.
Coming up, supply chain challenges hammered results. So why haven't investors punished Bed Bath & Beyond after earnings? Kramer's got the CEO next.
All right, what in the world is going on with the stock of Bed Bath & Beyond? Now, look, I'm a big believer in the turnaround story here. Bash ran up by CEO Mark Tritton, who was late of Target. The stock's incredible 8% rally today. Well, it was a little mystifying for people. Why? Because Bed Bath just reported an outright top and bottom line miss, with management also issuing light guidance for the next quarter and even cutting their full-year forecast. In pre-market trading, the stock was down 9% at one point. Then a funny thing happened. When the conference call got rolling, the stock came roaring back. Perhaps that's because Bed Bath's gross margins were improved.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Impressive. Perhaps it's because management gave you very bullish commentary talking about how demand remained strong even as they were hit by infrastructure issues and supply chain headaches, and how the quarter got better as it went along, called the cadence. Whatever the reason, it's great to see the stock catch fire. Can it continue? Let's dig deep with Mark Tritton. He's the turnaround artist, president, and CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond. Get a clearer picture of where his company's in. Mr. Tritton, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hey, Jim. Good to see you, and happy new year.
Okay, same to you. Now, Mark, when you were on last, it was right at the heart of when things were not going well, and you said you felt things were going better. I think a lot of people were mystified by why the stock could rally, but in fact, if you go month by month and week by week, it just got stronger and stronger as the quarter went on.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we had a quarter that we would have delivered much better results. We had two major issues that we faced. The first was around traffic generation, where we didn't lean into our key fundamentals and connect with our customers in a timely way. And that really permeated through the third quarter. It got better in November. And so you saw that advancement there. The second was really around inventory. It's a tough time for everybody, but for us as a company that's building their infrastructure, processes and technology, we got caught a little bit in this space. And so we had a lack of inventory. We had great demand, as you just noted, and it really frustrated us to not be able to meet that demand fully through the quarter and into the early part of December.
Now, Mark, I was confused. I had thought that you had tackled all the infrastructure issues, but throughout the conference call, you talk about current systems not being up to snuff. Isn't it a better investment to get all that fixed than it is to continue to buy back stock?
Well, we believe we can do both, and that's actually what we've been doing, Jim. We've got a three-year transformation plan, and the issue is that our investments, we've engineered the recovery and the design of our new systems and processes, but they begin to be tested and implemented throughout 22. 21 was the year of design, development, engineering. 22 is where we start to stabilize and implement. And so this came just ahead of that. We are investing our CapEx, which we've laid out very clearly, in the infrastructure to build for our three-year plan. Remember, we're only three quarters into a three-year plan. So we believe when we look at the long-term value of our stock, its current value is undervalued, and both our board and management team construct the ability to invest on behalf of the shareholder in what we think is going to be a very profitable outcome.
Okay, about 30 years ago, I had met with the Dayton Hudson management, and they were talking about spinning off this company called Target. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, Dayton Hudson's a great brand. Target turned out to be one of the great growth engines of all time. I look at Bye Bye Baby, and I say to myself, it could be the great growth engine here. I think I'm going to put something out there. You may disagree. You have $1 billion in cash. You take that out. You have a company that is worth at least $500 million. Bye Bye Baby. I don't even care about the rest of the stuff. You know that this company is worth a lot more if we had that Target-like business that's Bye Bye Baby.
Well, let's break it down. I knew you were going to go there, Jim. Bye Bye Baby, great business, double-digit comps for the quarter, consistent growth and market share growth. We do believe it's a true asset, and we shared openly that this business will generate more than $1.3 billion worth of sales. I think getting clarity on the value of this business over time, and we've been holding back there a little as we wanted to develop the business, but as we're investing in it in 2022 and making an even greater asset is our goal. And so seeing that strength and then building on that strength is our key goal.
Now, I've been back to your Chelsea store. It is gorgeous. We went there when it opened.
Yeah.
If you had 10 of them, what would your numbers be like?
Well, let me just talk about the success of that store. Again, interesting time in that we do not have tourist traffic and we do not have the Midtown office traffic at the moment. That store, 15% less floor space than it was in its prior incantation. We've actually reduced inventory down by over 15%. The store is up 30% on last year without those benefits of traffic. And so, you know, higher level of own brand penetration, higher levels of productivity and profitability. It is the jewel in the crown for us. And as we are working not only on that store, but other flagships and A-plus stores, we're working with our national brand vendor partners to invest and celebrate their brands in moments in the store that you see adding through now and through the first part of 2022. So really great success and at the sort of forefront of the investments we're making in our remodel program over 3 years, over 400 stores. We've only completed 81 of those. And when we do, they grow disproportionately to the rest of the fleet. Their own brand penetration is higher. And Chelsea is the jewel in the crown of that experience. So another great green shoot of our transformation that we see leading to really great results over the next 2 to 3 years.
Now, it must have hurt you as a great merchant to admit that you were approximately $100 million in lost sales. I mean, that must just, painful.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, as I talked about, the two influences there is really around mostly supply chain and inventory availability. I'll give you a great example of that, Jim, is a customer comes online, they want to buy a great item from us, they see it on our assortment, and they want to buy that to pick up at their local store. The inventory is not in the right place to be made available. It's actually locked in a warehouse.
Oh.
Or they want to buy it from us online, and it actually hasn't been replenished because our vendors are also starved for that key inventory. So we actually had the physical data of customers coming to us in store and online, and we not being able to meet them. Here's the good news about that. It does show that the brand is alive and well and that we have demand. That we can't meet it absolutely kills me. It's a real opportunity for 22 that's left a space here in 21. There's $100 million minimum that we said we left on the table just for Q3. We see that as something we have to double down on, and we'll get through our inventory woes as we build processes and procedures from here in the midterm through to our full transformation coming through the end of 22.
Okay, finally, someone asked a question. They said, you closed one Harmon. I love Harmon. You know, I think that those stores are worth a great deal.
I do.
But it's just, is it still just an afterthought? When can we start talking about what you can do with that great brand?
Well, I think that there's, you know, there's only one store that closed, and that's the end of the story. I think that's just the rationalization what we're doing there. But we're investing in that business, and what you're going to see is a two-part plan. Health and beauty, where we used to just sort of plop Harmon inside of their buff and beyond, it wasn't very cohesive. We've been re-diagnosing that and developing that, and you're seeing an evolution of our health and beauty businesses doing very well in store and rolling out it all full remodels. So more to follow on that. The second is, how do we double down and invest with, like yourself, incredibly loyal customers, great conversion, and great support. So, you know, more in that plan. Bye Bye Baby, Harmon, and Bed Bath & Beyond, and Decorist, all set to grow through the investments that we're making.
Well, look, the stock popped because it should have. It shouldn't have been down where it is, and it still shouldn't be this low. Think about what can happen when you get the right merchant, when you get everything you want humming. This thing is going to be a great story. Mark Tritton, what is? It's just that it hasn't all happened yet by your own admission. That's Mark Tritton, right. CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, who is the toughest critic on himself of any CEO I know. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Mad Money back at the break.
Coming up, will inflation take a bite out of this stock? ConAgra joins Cramer fresh off earnings. Next.
Now the Fed's getting ready to hit the brakes in the economy. Wall Street Playbook says you need to be a little more defensive, buy some defensive classics, the recession-resistant names with healthy dividends. In theory, that makes this the perfect moment for something like ConAgra Brands, the company behind Chef Boyardee, Hebrew National, Duncan Hines, Orville Redenbacher, Bertolli, Pam, Slim Jim's, huge portfolio of frozen vegetables, among many others. This cheap stock. And it makes real things and pays you a bountiful 3.7% yield. Therefore, it passes our smell test. However, the industry is still a little tricky, as we saw this morning when ConAgra reported what I guess is, you have to call it a mixed quarter. While their sales came in better than expected, and they're now guiding for 3% organic sales growth this year, very strong. They also got hit with a higher cost, translated to some tougher gross margins, 4-cent earnings miss off a 68-cent basis. In response, the stock got ever so slightly dinged. Going forward, though, the comparisons will get easier. And if you believe that the Fed could whip inflation sooner than expected, this one's going to be a coiled spring. So can management get their costs under control in an environment where costs are going up for everybody? Let's take a closer look with Sean Connolly. He's the president and CEO of ConAgra Brands. Learn more about the quarter, what comes next. Mr. Connolly, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hey, Jim, happy new year.
Oh, same to you, Sean. Now, I was very impressed with 3% growth in an industry that doesn't have much growth at all. That's terrific. At the same time, obviously, as you said, the costs are higher than you'd like. At what point will the costs be taken, but the gains in sales continue higher?
Well, we've seen this inflation's been clearly more persistent than we expect. But, you know, it's getting a little long in the tooth right now. But meanwhile, our sales remain incredibly robust. I just wish we could supply all the demand that consumers have for our products, because that has remained very strong. But you can't sugarcoat it. It's been a challenging environment in the supply chain. We've seen some improvement in some areas, and then you see new challenges come in like Omicron. But as we approach our fourth quarter, we're going to start to wrap the onset of this inflation. And that's where you see things materially improve, given the fact that we've got strong brands, we've got strong demand, and we've taken inflation-driven pricing as well. You tend to see margin recovery happen pretty meaningfully and pretty swiftly once you get to the wrap.
Now, we've got terrific products of yours out here. We've got the big popcorn. We got the Savage-sized Jim Slims. But what we can't represent as much as I'd like, because we only have two of them, is what's going on in the frozen food aisle. Now, that aisle is on fire. The numbers are impressive. Take me down that aisle and tell me what's selling well.
Well, I can tell you what's going on with consumers right now as we navigate this pandemic is that younger consumers, millennials and Gen Z in particular, are buying more and more of their food at home, food they cook at home, food they heat and eat at home. And one of the things our younger consumer base, millennials and Gen Z, love are frozen foods. We've got a whole array of great frozen brands like Marie Callender, like Healthy Choice Power Bowls that are resonating really well. We've got P.F. Chang's Chinese food, Asian, Pan-Asian food that has gone over extremely well. And we've continued to innovate for these younger consumers in the frozen section. And we've seen tremendous growth. Our two-year total company sales versus 2 years ago this past quarter was up 15%. And frozen and snacking are our two largest growth areas. So it's a tremendously convenient area. We tackled it a number of years ago, said there's no problem with frozen. The issue is the food. We've got to build great food and put it in a frozen temperature state so it's ready when these young consumers want it. We did that. It has performed year in, year out, and our innovation pipeline just keeps getting stronger. So it's gone extremely well throughout the pandemic. It's gone extremely well with younger consumers, and we've got an even bigger and better pipeline with all these great frozen brands coming over the next several years.
Well, I was struck by that when I looked at the conference call and the analyst reports, but I was also intrigued. You gave the biggest and best breakout of what Omicron can do to a workforce. It's very clear that it's been very tough in your industry. And what made me think is that if everybody were healthier, one, inflation would go down. You can correct me if that's not the case. And two, it's obvious that you could have a lot more product, a lot more product. And that would meet the demand. So if this illness were to go away, it would be great for you guys, right?
Well, it's not quite that simple. I don't think if Omicron goes away, it immediately solves inflation. I think you got to have a battle plan for both. With respect to Omicron, it's exactly what we've been doing since the onset of the pandemic. We've got to keep our employees healthy. And we've taken an incredible number of steps within our facilities to keep people healthy. We have strict masking policies. We keep people at a distance. But most important, we strongly encourage vaccinations and boosters. So we've got to create a healthy and safe work environment. We do that. You know, Omicron is going to be a challenge here for a short period of time, is what the prognosticators say. We'll persevere through that as well. But then you have to have a battle plan to navigate inflation. And in the 30 years I've been doing this, you got to have two things in place to navigate inflation. You got to have strong brands that resonate with consumers, and you got to have perseverance. Strong brands are important because it is the thing that allows you to get inflation-driven pricing into the marketplace, and it's the thing that keeps the consumer's response to that pricing benign. Perseverance is important because it's a good reminder that if you've got your pricing in place, demand remains strong. When the inflation subsides, you can see rapid margin recovery in a meaningful way. And that's exactly what we're counting on. And we continue to see that very strong demand from our consumers. But Omicron and tackling inflation, we've got a plan for both.
All right, you got to do them both. And if we get inflation down, that 3.7% yield is going to be a winner no matter what. And I know these analysts are all saying, well, you don't have enough free cash flow to do this or that. That's nonsense. Your company generates a gigantic amount of cash flow. Really, Sean, just an amazing amount.
We throw off a lot of cash, Jim, and we have a very balanced approach to capital allocation. You know, as you've seen in the past, we consider it all. You know, we invest a lot in our businesses. It's how we get this great innovation going. We also have a meaningful dividend. We increased our dividend last fiscal by, I think, about 47%. And opportunistically, we buy back shares, and sometimes we make acquisitions. All of those things are options given our strong cash flows, and all of them are things that we weigh against each other in terms of strategic value and economic value in any given quarter.
Well, terrific job. I think it's actually going forward going to be easier. That's my view. I just studied your company long enough to know that I think that's going to be the case. Sean Connolly, President and CEO of Conagra Brands, CAG. Thank you, Sean. Great to see you.
Thanks, Jim.
Guys, you know, look, if you want a company that's just on the move, but it's not going to make you, you know, worry every minute that you're in the stock market, it's Conagra, okay? Mad Money's back here for the break.
Just chill out.
Is this Chill Master J?
The Chill Man is in the house. He's happy.
The lightning round is coming up when Mad Money returns.
It is time! It's time for the lightning round! And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Keep dead of the lightning round. Let's start with Antonio in Michigan. Antonio!
Hey, Jim. I think the data center and data storage sector is a pretty safe sector. I've been looking for value plays with a good long-term vision. I know you've talked about Vertiv Holdings before. And I'm just curious if you feel that Vertiv is a good stock to get into at its current price.
Yes, absolutely. I like the company. I like the business model. I like the fact that Cody's still the chairman. You've got a winner there. Let's go to Garrett, New York. Garrett.
Hi, Jim. I've held 2,000 shares at an average price of $11.74 for about 6 months now. I'm concerned what the chart looks like. It's horrific. What do you think about Pacey?
I don't know how the hell this got down this low. I mean, honest to God. I'm a buyer. Count me a buyer, not a seller. I mean, it's losing money, but not losing money hand over fist. Let's go to Sal in Texas, please. Sal.
Mr. Kramer, thanks for all the help over the years.
Quite welcome.
Much appreciated.
Quite welcome.
Hey, listen, I'm in the house of pain with this one. It's a data analytics business intelligence software company. We hit another 52-week low yesterday, so could really use your help with Alteryx, AYX.
All right, now this is an example, again, of a stock that doesn't fit what I said would work in 2022 when I did my investment club call, which is that a company that I really like, that's losing a lot of money, that has really good data storage retrieval business, Alteryx, cannot, its stock can't work here. And I know that sounds so bad that I say it can't work, but I've been sticking by my guns about that when I had that investment club meeting, and I'm not changing my mind. Let's go to John in New York. John.
Jimmy, booyah.
Booyah.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Family and the staff. And the staff.
They're great.
I'm calling about Matterport, MTTR. Is it time to get in?
No, you know what? We did say, look, that this one was traded. We had a question from a viewer. Digital scan, 3D. We like 3D. But again, remember, not making any money. If it's not making any money, it cannot go up in this environment. Let's go to Rhonda in Kansas. Rhonda.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Rhonda.
Very cold, very windy, and very dry. Booyah.
Wow, very unattractive booyah.
Jim, I need some help.
Sure.
Understanding the extraneous factors around Scotts Miracle-Gro. Water shortages.
Right, but also we've got, you know, you've got the cannabis. Look, this and I like this stock. I think this is going to be a great stock for the spring. I think gardening's going to be back again. This, we didn't lose. Look, who knew that we would be still with COVID? And it does well during gardening season. So I'm a buyer. Dan in California. Dan!
Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Dan.
Sunny Southern California wants to know.
All right.
What's your opinion of Guardian GH?
They're losing money hand over fist. Just hand, they're like boom, 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 boom. And therefore, it won't work. I know when I say it don't work, that sounds so callous. But I go back to the December club meeting when I said you can't own them anymore. It's just a watershed moment. And that's where we are. Saul, Massachusetts. Saul!
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, quite welcome, sir.
Also, I'm a member of the CNBC Investing Club. Thanks very much for that as well.
Quite welcome.
My question is the Trade Desk, TTD.
It's a great company. We have had Jeff Green on a bunch of times, but it sells at 100 times earnings. We have been saying that if it's more than 50 times earnings and it's not Snowflake, we don't want to recommend. Why Snowflake? Because they really are doing well enough to be able to have that kind of multiple. Thank you, Matt Horing. The stock did hold its right bottom today. Let's go to Anthony in New York. Anthony!
Jim, how you doing, pal? I'm a long-time listener. I want to know
thank
about
you, partner. Thank you.
Your thoughts on Enovix Corporation, symbol ENVX.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. Because it's lithium batteries, I'm going to do more work on it. Lithium, those stocks aren't working right now either, but I want to do more work on it, and I'll come back to you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up, what can a box of cereal tell you about this market? Kramer explains next. Tomorrow, kick off the trading day with Squawk on the Street. Live from Post 9 at the NYSE.
People who criticize me on Twitter, they should watch tomorrow's show where I'm going to fix Twitter.
That, you've been teasing that, and I can't wait to hear what you have
to
store.
Fix Twitter.
That's
and I happen to love the management Twitter, but, you know, I got to, I have to fix them.
It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern.
You are super. You are awesome.
I'm a first-time investor.
Thank you for inspiring me to get in the game.
Your show is the best. I am so glad you're on TV.
I want you to know that you have transformed me. Thank you, Kramer.
Imagine a world where we get inflation under control. That might not be as fantastical as you'd think. Starts with something anecdotal. During vacation, I had the absolute pleasure of working with one of the preeminent people in the business of tree milling, the process of taking trees and turning them into beautiful slabs for tables, desks, anything that needs a 17-foot piece of solid 5-inch ash. I asked him whether he'd thought about getting into the business of lumber, given that we've got serious mill shortages in this country. His response, he laughed. He said, are you kidding me? If you knew the number of mills that are about to come online to take advantage of high lumber prices, you want to get out of that business right now. So let's think about that. Someone who's very in the know when it comes to lumber says we're looking at so many new mills that the price could crash. That's his biggest fear. And look, that's hardly an isolated example. We're seeing something similar all over the place. It's just not in the Fed's thinking. Take this box of Kellogg's cornflakes. The other day, Kellogg got downgraded because everything that goes in and around a box is going up in price. I mean, there's the corn, right? I mean, you know, the corn's been flying. It's a remarkably small part of a box of cereal, at least in terms of its cost. But it's a wild card, and right now it's coming up. Well, let's say it's not coming up aces. Then there's the plastic bag. Okay, plastic's gone up a great deal. This is an incredible opportunity for the plastic makers to make money. They can't open a new high-density polyethylene plant overnight, but they're in the process of building a ton of them. Historically, they have a tendency to get greedy and build too many of them. Same with the box makers. They're already overbuilt capacity to take advantage of high prices, but those prices will move back down once all the new capacity comes online and we go from a box shortage to a box glut. Don't believe me about the plastic? Maybe you'll believe the best chemical analyst in the industry, Frank Mitsch at Fermium Research. He showed me this chart that indicates this process has already begun for plastics as the new plants come online. Again, you have to expect something similar for all these commodities. Meanwhile, there's the labor side of the equation. Late last year, Kellogg got hit with a strike that lasted 11 weeks. Factory workers tried to hold out for a better contract. Then the company threatened to give them the boot. In the end, the union got a very good contract, but Kellogg managed to get some serious concessions denied by the unions that will allow them to get costs down. I'm sure they're now doing everything in their power to use technology to make more boxes of cereal with fewer workers, and that's what happens when there's a labor shortage. Now, how about the real bad costs? Shipping, getting into the distribution centers, the stores that take truck drivers. This one is problematic. No one knew there'd be a driver shortage just a couple of years ago. There's so much chatter about self-driving trucks, so it's harder to attract new people to the industry. But one thing is for certain. If there aren't enough truck drivers now, eventually they're going to get higher salaries. Right now they make about an average of 66 Gs. Lots of individual truck drivers are setting up 3- and 4- driver companies where they can make 100 grand a year each. At the same time, the railroads see a major opportunity, maybe get that port congestion changed, and they're going to set up new intermodal lines that will help bring these cereal boxes to where they're needed. The whole thing snuck up on people, and that includes COVID, which has been a nightmare for logistics. Once the pandemic runs its course and you can earn six figures as a self-employed truck driver, I think a lot of these shipping bottlenecks will just vanish. It's just not going to happen overnight. Now let's go back to the anecdotal information from that expert, Tree Miller. Like so many companies, he recognizes that new demand is here to stay. Funny thing about long-lasting demand, it's always greeted by more supply. Our Fed chief, Jay Powell, knows this. He doesn't need to carpet bomb the economy with rate hikes in order to stamp out inflation. He just needs to cool things down a bit and buy some time for capacity to come online and push prices back down. In the meantime, really, honestly, if you're really worried about the cost of living, forget the Kellogg-branded kind. And buy this much cheaper knockoff version. Incredibly, just a second. It tastes exactly the same. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise to try to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. The news with Shepard Smith starts now.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.